views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in today for my guests, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Two-part show today. The first portion, though, they always have a saying, the swallows always return to San Juan Capistrano. And today, we have John Tolerud with the Salvation Army. And John, your father founded the Salvation Army in Fairbanks in 1950.
Grandfather, but yes.
Grandfather. Family tree.
Family tree.
Lineage. You had to come back.
It's always a pleasure to return to the scene of the crime, so to speak.
The birth of the nation.
There you go.
And so, as you said, your family, this is like a lineage and a heritage. So was your father in the ministry too?
Yes. So actually a very, very interesting story is our family history and lineage. Both of my grandparents, my mother's parents and my father's parents, were Salvation Army officers in what we call the Central Territory of the Salvation Army, which is based out of Chicago, and it's more the Midwest of the United States.
And your wife is too.
My wife is also joined with me, and she is also a Salvation Army officer, yes.
So you're a lieutenant.
Correct.
And how long have you been in the ministry?
So we have completed 4 years of active service as Salvation Army officers. However, I would somewhat argue that I was born into the ministry as my parents being Salvation Army officers.
The DNA, the family lineage, the family tree, yeah, I'd say so. But you didn't directly go into it.
No, so I fit really well in with the Alaska lifestyle and the Alaska mentality as I'm a cowboy. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a rebel. And so at 18, when I graduated high school in Colorado, I decided it was better to join the U.S. Army than the Salvation Army. And so
you're in an army.
I was still in an army at some point, but I was off on my way and I got to see a little bit of the world. And I was avoiding what I thought was not my job in being part of the Salvation Army. But then when I came back and I did a little stint as a reservist for a while, I worked for the Salvation Army as a youth programs coordinator, as a child safety and abuse prevention coordinator, and then also as a disaster services coordinator for a while too. So I was still working within the Salvation Army, even if I wasn't taking that active officer role.
Just is bound to happen.
It just was part of life. It's what God had planned for me anyway. So
how long have you been in Fairbanks now, you and your wife?
We got here the 28th of June. So we've only been here just a little over 4 months.
Good for you, going to get your first winter.
Well, yes, somewhat. I moved up to Alaska in 2008.
Yeah, so you've been through the winters.
I've been through some winters.
Yep. Yeah, you're old hand at it. No biggie.
Yeah, and she did her first assignment was actually Fairbanks. She got here in June of 2019. Before we got married, she was assigned here as the assistant, and then we moved our wedding up when I got moved to Southeast Alaska. We moved our wedding up to January of 2020.
And you were in Wrangell for 4 years.
We were in Wrangell for 4 years. We loved it.
Beautiful town. Yeah, beautiful town.
Yeah, it was funny. Not many people know much about Wrangell, so when you see a article in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner about a trip to Wrangell and how much fun they had, I had to read the whole thing and take pictures of it and send it to people that we still talk to and communicate down there. It was really nice.
That's great. So let's go into some of your up-and-coming programs. Thanksgiving starting soon.
Thanksgiving started, I think, in November or October, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting ready to work with the Food Bank of Fairbanks to create programs for them. We're going to provide boxes for some families who sign up and that are in need. We're also going to try something a little different this year. We're going to host a Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving Day at our Salvation Army Church over on 10th, right across the street from Denali Elementary School.
That'll be great.
Yeah, we're going to open the door when the Lions kick off, and we're going to have pie right after halftime of the Dallas Cowboys game. So.
Wow. So it's, you're opening basically at 9 a.m.
Pretty much.
And you're closing at about 2:33.
Well, we'll be done to about 4, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, halftime.
Yeah,
pie,
you
know.
Yeah.
How does a person get in touch with you to help?
Just call us down at the church. That's 452-3103.
452?
Yes. 907-452-3103.
3130. Okay. And how does a person, do you need cooks? You need donations? You need food? What do you need?
Oh, we'll take anything that anyone wants to give to us in regards to that. Napkins, cutlery. But we're going to make sure that it's all there and it's all provided. And that's just for Thanksgiving.
How many people can you have seating for at one time?
The fire marshal says we can have about 85 people in there. So
the fire marshal works for me.
There you go. So if you want to change that number, that's absolutely fine.
It's based on square footage.
That's right.
It's pretty defined there. So you can do very well.
Yeah, we'd be happy to fill up 85.
Yeah.
And if I gotta go buy more tables or go find more tables somewhere else or build them in the last second, I'll do that.
You know, it's interesting. Every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, I make a nice meal for our dispatch center people and the police officers who are working that
day. I love that.
And just something very nice. And here you go. And thanks for what you're doing. And so good for you. So that's Thanksgiving. Then what happens?
Oh, then we gear up a little bit more. So a lot of people aren't really sure where the Salvation Army is up until December. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden the Salvation Army shows up and one would say we're invading the town, so to speak.
But, at the Dallas Cowboys football game, they have that great big
yes.
Bowl out there, and they all jump in it and they get fined, but it really highlights it's the start of your season.
So what some people may not know is that Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is actually the president of our National Advisory Board.
Wow.
And so I think his wife is now at this point, but what they do
That's a powerful couple.
It is. What they do is they sponsor that halftime show to highlight the Salvation Army and what we do nationally. But we do so much locally, too, that we like to take that PR and move it our own way. So in December, we have our Angel Tree program, our Red Kettle campaign, our food box distribution, and all three of those partner to basically make sure that the families here in Fairbanks have a Merry Christmas.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You listen to KFR Radio. I have John Tellerud with the Salvation Army, a lieutenant in the Salvation Army. If you have a question or want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And here's some holiday meat places for you to go to.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This Thanksgiving, give your guests an experience they will truly be thankful for. Tommy G's. With their one-of-a-kind smoked hams, smoked turkeys, and certified Angus beef prime ribs, you'll be giving them the best Thanksgiving dinner imaginable. Their hams bathe in an award-winning brine and are hardwood smoked at the Tommy G's facility. The smoked turkeys get the very special Tommy G touch, making them absolutely phenomenal. Or impress your guests with a certified Angus beef prime rib. Supplies are limited, so go to TommyG'sAlaska.com today to reserve your Thanksgiving dinner. It's no longer dinner with friends and family. It's an experience.
One of the best traditions many Italian families hold dear is the weekly family meal. Families coming together under one roof, cooking a massive shared feast with food and drink while spending quality time with each other. Now, that's a great tradition. You can start your own family tradition with dinner at Giraldo's. Giraldo's has a menu that has something for everyone, from the littlest bambino to Nona and Nono. A weekly family meal. This is a tradition worth keeping. Eat well, drink well, enjoy life at Giraldo's.
ABC Wednesday, November 8th.
It's country music's biggest night.
The CMA Awards, live. With performances by Luke Bryan, Lainey Wilson, Jelly Roll, and Kay Michelle. Old Dominion with Megan Maroney. Carly Pierce featuring Chris Stapleton. Tanya Tucker with Little Big Town. And more.
The best in country music! Woo!
Luke Bryan and Peyton Manning host.
The CMA Awards, live.
Wednesday, November 8th, 8, 7 Central on ABC. And stream next day on Hulu.
Save on stuff you really need and stuff you bought for fun. Stuff you've always really wanted this holiday at Amazon. Stuff that is discounted if you're naughty or you're nice. Stuff to buy your grandma who drinks her Chardonnay with ice. Stuff to make you big and strong. Stuff we can name in this song. Stuff for lawns and decking halls. Save big on stuff at Amazon. Stuff.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 23. Northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight. Lows level off around 17. Overcast skies. Snow showers likely at times tomorrow. 21. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow tonight through Sunday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Welcome back again. I had an invasion into my radio station here. Yeah, that was it. Upper management came in here, you know, give me the what for, and I got to do better with you, John.
I'll do my best.
Did you see that? My goodness.
I did.
Wow. Okay, I gotta put my A game on here.
Okay.
Your Angel Tree program.
Yes. You'll see them at Walmart. You'll see them at Fred Meyer. We put trees up. We'll actually have a couple of other local businesses that have wanted to sponsor this program. And you'll grab a tag off the tree, and you shop for a child. And you bring the tag back, and we process it. And we make sure that the families have toys for their kids at Christmas time. And so that's the Angel Tree program is about you taking it out. And one of the things that I like to do with my youngest daughter is go out, and we grab a tag for another girl that's 2 years old, mm-hmm. just like mine, and we go shopping, and she picks out toys for her. And so then we take them home, and we...
Wrap them?
Well, we don't wrap them, because we want to make sure that they're new toys. Sometimes people are trying to be generous, and they're trying to be helpful, but sometimes they put a used toy in.
Oh.
And we want to make sure that every child gets a brand new toy for Christmas.
So you bring them unwrapped.
Bring them unwrapped, place them in the bins, and we'll pick them up, and we'll put them into the system, and we'll make sure that each child gets it. And it's just a lot of fun.
How does a person go about signing up?
We have it. It's saangeltree.com, saangeltree.com, and you can sign up there. It's already open. And then my wife, Lieutenant Rosie, she'll be in our office starting every Monday in November. She'll be there 10 to 4 to help people sign up who are not able to access it online. And so every Monday in November, she'll be there 10 to 4, and that's our office on 10th Avenue, right across from Denali Elementary School.
How many angel investors do you get a year? That's a great program.
It's a great program, and we do appreciate all of our donors who do that. We have been able to supply, through the years, anywhere between 200 and 600 kids with brand new toys every Christmas. And so,
incredible.
Yeah, I don't know if it's four people that pick up all 200 tags or if it's 200 people, but everyone who picks up a tag is very much a part of that process, and we're very grateful for each and every one of them.
So when do you have to have the toys there?
So looking at my calendar, it looks like my wife has put it in there that they're
upper management.
That's right.
Upper management. It's like we had walk in here. Yeah, yeah. I know the feeling. Yes.
We have a delineation of authority. I go out and I talk about what the Salvation Army is doing, and she puts it on the calendar to make sure I don't forget to go out and talk about what the Salvation Army is doing.
Okay.
So the week before our distribution, which I believe is the 9th of December, that is when we need to have the the tags or the toys turned in by.
By the 9th of December.
Right. And we wanted to make sure that there's enough time. So the trees will be going out probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks, give you the opportunity to shop locally and pick up some nice things at a lot of our local places. I know there's a comic book store that's going to be putting an angel tree this year, which is really kind of neat.
Oh, over there, the comic shop over there in the mall.
I believe that's it, but yeah. I'm not entirely sure. Again, that's the upper level management that I don't have any access to. So
you're a smart man. I know that term "smart man" is an oxymoron statement.
But, I know sometimes it can be a little questionable.
But just keep it simple. We just keep it simple, don't we?
Yes.
Your bell ring.
Yes. So we also have our bell ringing program, and what a lot of people don't know about our bell ringing program is that it was started in San Francisco as a way to raise money to put food on the table for people who were usually unable to provide for themselves. And we kind of continue that tradition. We ring, and we only do our fundraising once a year, which is this Red Kettle. And so we try to raise at least 80% of our operating costs through these Red Kettles. Now, COVID and the pandemic and everything that was going on from 2020 on has made it a little difficult to raise the 80%, but we've been appreciative of what has happened, and we've had to find other ways to do it, but we want to go back to that. And so we're hoping this year that we get a great campaign. We'll be starting right around Thanksgiving, and we'll go until Christmas Eve, or actually December 23rd, because Christmas Eve is a Sunday, and we don't ring on Sundays.
And you do other things on Sundays. Good for
we
you.
We do.
How many people does it take to do this, and how many locations do you have?
So we have 16 locations that we do here in Fairbanks and North Pole, and we have an 8-hour shift every day. We're going to be hiring a couple of people to help us make this possible.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's looking to stand outside for 8 hours a day and freeze, I have the perfect job for you. But if you're not, and you want to just give a couple of hours, that's great too. But it takes, I would say at minimum, at least 3 times what the sites have. So we have 8-hour shifts, 16 sites. I would say roughly in the neighborhood of 400 people have to make this possible.
Wow.
And we've got some great partnerships. The Downtown Rotary, the Kiwanis Club, they've all been helpful in years past.
And sign up at SA?
You can just call our office,
452-3103.
3103, yes.
Boy. So what are some of the sites?
So we have Fred Meyer, both Fred Meyers, both Safeways, the Safeway in North Pole. We also have, we're still waiting on our final agreement, but we usually stand around Walmart. And then... looking at a couple other places this year. We're just trying to finalize the agreements because I have about 1 week before I have to get all the buckets out there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
don't you have a location for dropping off used clothing or things like that?
We do.
Selling?
So we have our thrift store, and that's the other part of our revenue generating opportunities here in Fairbanks. Which is a very beneficial thing. When we came from Southeast, we didn't have one in the town we were. And so this is new and exciting for us, but it's also part of what generates income for our rent, utility assistance programs, for providing clothes for those that are in need, bus tokens, many other programs that we have. And so you can donate it, at 2222 Cushman Street. And it's open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4 around the back. Now, it's obviously a little bit cold, so we're not having the big garage door open.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just knock on the door, and they'll be glad to help you unload your vehicle if you're donating Tuesday through Saturday.
Your services on Sunday, what time?
So our church services begin with a kind of Bible study and discussion group at 10 a.m. And then at 11 a.m. we have our worship service, which is very, very traditionally Christian-based. And we alternate between my wife and I, who's preaching. And then the first Sunday of the month, which is the best Sunday to come to church, by the way, is the Sunday that we have a fellowship meal. So we eat after church on the first Sunday.
Okay. And we're coming up on the first Sunday.
That is.
So schedule again, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Bible study, coffee, and fellowship time. 11 is our traditional worship service.
So then about 12:30 meal.
Meal, yep.
What do you have for your meal?
I don't know. I think this week our fellowship group is putting together the menu still, but they were talking about chicken wings as the course. I just don't know at this point.
That's a good breakfast.
That's a great breakfast.
Breakfast of champions.
Yeah, there you go.
I love chicken wings, and all of Fairbanks knows it.
Yes.
So after the holidays, then what happens?
So we have lots of programs going year-round.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesdays, we have troop programs, which are very much kin to the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, or even Awana. And what's really nice about that, if you're familiar with any of those, they're character building, they're moral building. They give kids a sense of completeness and accomplishment that they can do things and that they are capable of doing things. And so we interact on Wednesday with our kids. We have ones for boys, girls from 2 years old all the way through 16. We have those programs available on Wednesdays from 4 to 5:30. And in true Salvation Army fashion, we provide dinner for the kids too.
Okay, good.
And that varies. This last week it was chicken and waffles, and I don't know what will happen next week.
You know, what's the thing about chicken and waffles?
You know, I love chicken and waffles. So
not so much. No.
So let me, as a wing connoisseur, let me give you a piece of advice.
Why get put waffles in there, you know?
No, so you do it a little differently.
You get the syrup. Oh, come on. But go ahead.
All right, so good thing for chicken and waffles. Let's say you do just a traditional set of waffles. Cut it up like you would French toast sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you can do is you can take your hot wing and sandwich it between the two. And if you get a really good spicy wing, I don't know if you're a spicy guy.
I go all the way.
Okay,
around.
So you get a really nice habanero hot.
Yeah, that's okay.
And then you dip
cool it off.
Just dip it a little bit in the syrup between, and if you've got it between the two waffle pieces, it just adds a little bit more.
Good texture.
It's not just good texture. That flavor is just enhanced. Just. Something worth trying anyway.
he's not selling me on this, but I'll have to try it. It's a good way to take up stomach content area away from my wings.
Well, maybe.
So, the angel tree.
Uh-huh.
Got a few minutes left.
Sure.
The angel tree. How do you go about getting involved?
If you're
Fairbanks and listening.
Yeah, if you're someone who wants to be involved in providing,
mm-hmm.
You can call the office, the 452-3103. You can call and you can speak to Lieutenant Rosie. She will have all the information.
Any
that you
relation
need.
To you?
It's my wife, my
okay.
one and only, the one that takes care of everything, including me.
In Italian speak, we call that the boss of bosses.
The boss of bosses. I like that. I'll make sure to add that to her title. But you just talk to Lieutenant Rosie. She'll show you how to get involved and where those trees will appear and when they will appear.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are somebody who maybe this Christmas is going to be a little difficult for you and you need a little bit of help, we want to help you. It doesn't matter what's going on. You know, your bills are the biggest priority in your life, but your kids are even bigger than that. And so we want to make sure that we can help you provide Christmas. So again, just call Lieutenant Rosie down at that number, 452-3103. You can also visit saangeltree.org to sign up.
John, that's our show. I really appreciate you coming in here, spending it. And what I'll do is let's revisit this the first week of December.
Sounds great.
Let's do another half hour, just go over everything, see where you're at, see how you're doing, and we'll do it again, okay, sir?
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Fairbanks, we'll be back in a little bit.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden at the America's Partnership for Economic Prosperity Leaders Summit at the White House says all countries have a shared responsibility for what he called, quote, unprecedented migration flows.
With the Los Angeles Declaration on Migration and Protection, we committed to work together to address the historic levels of migration impacting all of our countries.
Well, many Americans are looking to evacuate Gaza as the Israeli Defense Forces ramp up a ground invasion there. U.S. citizens are expected to be among dozens of hostages being held by Hamas in the Gaza Strip. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says getting those hostages back is a top priority.
We need to do everything possible to secure the release of the hostages. Israeli hostages, American hostages, international hostages.
At least 30 Americans have died in the conflict. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
It's time for a feel-good Friday story. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports the day after Halloween is kind of like Christmas morning in Healy. Everyone is excited to see where snatched pumpkins end up on public display. In a longtime community tradition, every Halloween night, teenagers in Healy steal pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns off porches and driveways. Then they choose one local spot to put them all on display. This year, there were two displays. Some underclassmen wanted in on the prank because this is usually conducted by juniors and seniors, so the underclassmen grabbed pumpkins too. On Wednesday morning, community members found pumpkins adorning the Welcome to Healy sign at the Healy intersection and the doorway to the Tri-Valley Community Library at Tri-Valley School. There are also stories of adult pranksters who try to turn the tables on the pumpkin thieves, like the homeowner who nailed his pumpkins to his porch. Well, that didn't work. And there was also the homeowner who hid on the roof with a bucket of water to douse the pumpkin thieves. That one did work.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV, a motorcycle, a golf cart? Whatever moves you drives them. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
When the cold settles in, wrap yourself and the ones you love in fur from the Fur Factory. The Alaskan solution to cold weather. Naturally warm and beautiful fur coats, mukluks, mittens, and hats for work and play are as practical today as always. The Fur Factory's fourth generation family furriers are still crafting heirloom quality furs you will treasure for a lifetime. You'll also see Alaskan gloves and beaded slippers by local artisans. Visit the Fur Factory, 547 2nd Avenue in Fairbanks.
The Fairbanks Concert Association presents Choir, 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 and they want you to be a part of this do-it-yourself 80s concert. Fairbanks, you get to be the star in an epic 80s sing-along on Friday, November 3rd at UAF's Davis Concert Hall at 7:30. The concert will be sung by you, the audience, who are taught by directors Nobu Adelman and David Goldman to sing in harmony. The music is a group effort, ideal for those who love to sing but don't want to go it alone. Never stop singing and don't stop believing. Get your tickets now at fairbanksconcert.org for Choir, 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 November 3rd, 7:30 p.m. at UAF's Davis Concert Hall.
Last month, Denali Industrial Supply and Milwaukee Tool teamed up to bring you the Milwaukee Mega Sale. A sale so big, they're extending it through November. Special pricing on Milwaukee 12-volt and 18-volt Baird tools and batteries. Full kits, hand tools, pack-out storage system, hole saw kits, accessories, and more. Ask their helpful sales staff how you can get a free with your purchase of Milwaukee power tools or pack-out products. Free is limited. The Milwaukee Mega Sale. Extended through November. Only at Denali Industrial Supply. Off Van Horn Road. Look for the big red roof.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio. Now I have the second portion of the show, round two. And Nick Begich, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Great to be back.
Now, let me get this straight. You're not going against 40 other candidates this round for state for U.S. Congress, are you?
Not 40. Right now, it's just me and the incumbent, and hopefully we'll keep it a heads up race as we head into the race next November. But right now, it's just one on one.
You know, last time, you know, it was you and against Don, and then sadly, and the congressman passed away. Oh my God!
Oh goodness!
You know, Now, if you didn't beat Santa Claus, you can never run for anything.
Well,
again.
No, that's so.
You wasn't top five, but that was my demarcation.
That was the moment.
If you can't beat Santa Claus and you're in this, you can never run again. So.
He did surprisingly well, Santa.
It was the name.
It was the name.
Name recognition.
Yep, my son. He was concerned about
beating Santa Claus.
About beating Santa Claus. Worried about the implications around Christmas time.
So. I like how your son sets his priorities.
Yep. He was looking out for number one on that one.
With priorities, what are your priorities for? You're running again. You learned a lot the first time. What are your priorities going into your scene two?
You know, I think we've got to look at we can bifurcate this into what are the priorities for Alaska, what are the priorities for our nation. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
No, they're not.
We're facing record-setting inflation levels we haven't seen in decades in our nation. And the thing about inflation is it's cumulative. Even if the rate of price increases comes down a little bit, mm-hmm. We're stuck with those high prices. And anyone who's gone to the grocery store, anybody who's gone and filled up a tank of gas in the last year plus knows, you know, we've got some serious problems in our nation. And the challenge with inflation is that it's been caused by a government that is out of control in terms of spending.
I've got one for you. My budget coming out. Costs went up only 2.2%.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's, you know, a government that's run well.
Mm-hmm. Efficient.
Efficiently. You can realize cost savings. Yeah. You can find ways to reduce the burden on the taxpayer.
And we reduce the burden on the real estate taxpayers, too.
Oh, that's so important. It's so important. And
it can be done, sir. And I know you can do it. You're an astute person. You know how to do this.
Well, to do it, you got to go line by line.
Yeah.
And this is something that's happening in the House. I know there's been some turmoil in the House, but we seem to have gotten that resolved. And when you're looking at budgets, historically, if you go way back, we have a number of appropriations bills that are individual bills so that you can go through each one based on its own merits, vote up or down, introduce amendments to those bills, et cetera. Mm-hmm. A couple of decades ago, we started moving away from that, doing things called continuing resolutions where we just said, hey, we'll take last year's or last period's budget and we'll just roll it forward. Mm-hmm. Or we did what are called kitchen sink or omnibus bills where you just took all of the appropriations bills into one master bill, threw it on the floor and said, up or down, yes or no, we're moving forward.
Yeah, here's 22,000 pages and vote it.
Exactly. And it was impossible to amend, impossible to digest, right, for the members themselves. And, mm-hmm. and it put everyone in a difficult position. You know, how do I vote against the things that I need in exchange for the things that I don't need? So we've restored under the House of Republican leadership what's called regular order. So it actually gives us a pathway to start curbing the growth of government again. And if we don't curb the growth of government again, we're going to continue to see the inflationary pressure caused by deficit spending that's just, again, way, way disproportionate to what it should be. So I think that's a priority. That's a top priority for me, right? And it's a priority for not just our nation, but for Alaskans, right? Because we deal with an outsized impact of inflation up here when it comes to food and fuel. And that's where these things show up. And housing. So that's a priority. I think for Alaska specifically, mm-hmm. We have got to make sure that our state remains open for business. And open for business means more than government, jobs, and tourism. Open for business means resource development as well. And historically, our state, even before it was a state, has been a resource hub. We're blessed with incredible mineral wealth, oil and gas wealth, timber resources, fishing opportunities, right? So these areas of the economy need to be opened up to the maximum, not just for the benefit of Alaskans, but for the benefit of America as a whole. One of the things that that we've been talking about here in the last week is sort of the immoral, fundamentally immoral position that many on the left have when it comes to resources. And you'll see these folks, they're driving around in their cars, they're flying in their jets, they're tweeting at you from their phones. But those resources to build all those products came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
they're more than willing to use the products, more than willing to buy the products, as long as they didn't do the mining in their backyard. And that's an immoral position. It's fundamentally wrong to say, hey, I'm more than willing to purchase the products but not do the work in our own home country, in our own home state. And if we're going to have mineral security, if we're going to have national security, we're going to have to make sure that those supply chains that provide the resources for these products that we use and consume on a daily basis are coming from domestic sources or at a very minimum locations that are friendly to the United States.
Well, what gets me is President Biden opens up more oil import with Venezuela.
That's right. It's unbelievable.
And he's shutting down Alaska.
That's right. And you know, he relaxed those imports, and then just a few days later, he's taking additional executive actions against leasing on federal lands.
Yeah.
Our ability in Alaska specifically to do work on our own lands and leases for oil and gas. It's unbelievable that he would open the spigot to our adversaries.
And this isn't the people there. This is a very, very corrupt government.
Yes, it is. And, you know, you talk about Venezuela as one of several examples that we could point to in this context. But, yes, it's highly corrupt. Right, they don't have free and fair elections down there. It's a straight socialist, avowed socialist nation.
They nationalized everything.
Everything is nationalized.
You can't even get a Pepsi Cola there.
No, even the oil companies that were international oil companies that were operating there, they took over those operations.
They had the fifth best economic structure in the Western Hemisphere, and now it's in the tank.
Well, and this is where socialism leads you.
Yeah.
Right, and. It's shocking to me because, you know, I know, like so many people who are probably listening right now, you can remember a time in this nation where no one would ever have the temerity to go out and call themselves a socialist.
Yeah.
Today, it's almost the fashionable thing to do on the left is to say that they're a socialist. And so you have actual sitting members of Congress that are part of a socialist caucus.
Well, look at your opponent's voting record.
It's really stunning, actually. You know, my opponent, she ran as a ostensible moderate.
Not at all.
You know, you're seeing
the votes now.
You're seeing the votes. The record is clear. 85% of the time, she's voting with Nancy Pelosi. 85% of the time, she's voting with Akeem Jeffries. About 80% of the time, she's voting with Ilhan Omar. I don't know how you can be a moderate and vote with some of the most extreme radical members of Congress.
Now, I love what the Republicans in the House did. They said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to fund Israel by taking away that bloated amount of money that we were going to give the IRS agents to come after us.
That's right.
And she voted against that.
She voted against that.
She voted against Israel, and she voted for IRS agents.
Yeah, it's audits.
Yeah.
Over
security for the only true democracy in the Middle East.
That's right.
Everyone else.
And our longtime ally in the Middle East. You know, we work together on things like counterintelligence, intelligence gathering, a number of private sector technology-driven partnerships with the nation of Israel. We have a very tight relationship with that nation, and it's a longstanding, formal allied relationship. And an allied relationship is more than just a friendship. It's more than saying, hey, we get along. These are formal agreements, a number of formal agreements that our governments have with one another. And here's the thing about an allied relationship. If you expect that ally to come to your defense in the future, you've got to come to their defense when they need you, right? This is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she has chosen, through her vote yesterday, to abandon our ally Israel in a moment when they are dealing with a very serious terroristic threat.
They were invaded.
They were invaded. They were attacked. I mean, this is beyond their 9/11.
Yeah.
Right? And they're being threatened by Iran. They're being threatened by Hezbollah, by
Syria.
Hamas, Syria, all these other nations that are coming in, jockeying for the potential to overthrow the Israeli government, again, our longstanding ally. And Mary Peltola has prioritized the IRS incremental audit funding over that allied relationship. And I think that's wrong.
I concur. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Nick Begich in the studio here with me. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., and Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Have I told you how I enjoy our time together? Talking about this and that, I don't rightly remember. Sometimes we need reminders about important things, like turning on your septic tank circulating pump to prevent freeze-ups. That's important. And making sure you can see your septic drain clean out. My family remembers Bigfoot pumping and thawing to pump me out once a year. That's important, so I continue to serve them much better.
The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 23. Winds out of the northeast, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for snow showers, lows around 17. High of 21, tomorrow, snow showers likely. About an inch of snow tonight through Sunday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Nick Begich in the studio here with me. Now, looking at Representative Petola's voting record, the fun thing is she can't say I was in the bathroom anymore.
No.
That was great for the first month.
Yeah. You know,
hard vote. Oh, I was in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. And that actually happened.
Yeah.
For folks who may not be aware of that, that actually happened. There was a critical vote on American Energy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary did not vote, did not even vote, not present, and said that she had to take a personal break and walked away. And this particular vote, if I remember correctly, had to do with drilling and exploration in Anwar.
It did.
And
very interesting one to have your lone representative from Alaska in the U.S. Congress, 535 members, and at that moment, she had to go take a potty break.
Yeah, well, you know, you can use that excuse once, you can't use it twice.
Yeah.
So. There's a lot of important votes that are coming through now that we do, as we talked in the last segment about, we do have regular order restored.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of opportunities to let people know where do you stand on issues, right?
Yeah.
Not just on the bill, but on the dozens of amendments in many cases that come through for those bills. A lot of interesting stuff being talked about down there. I know there's been amendments that from the Republican Party that target some of these woke policies that you see from the Biden administration. So
mm-hmm.
that it's they're defunding those sort of woke priorities. You're seeing, for example, there was an amendment that actually passed the House yesterday on the interior bill from Representative Andy Ogles, essentially saying they're going to defund attempts for mask mandates in the Interior Department. Passed on a voice vote, interestingly enough. But you're starting to see that. You're starting to see that Republican leadership in the House is asserting itself, saying, look, you know, we're going to push back on these Biden administration policies. We're going to make it clear. And the House is saying, look, we've got just as much authority in this body as the Senate does in theirs.
Yeah.
And that's good. We need that. We need that check on the Biden administration right now.
And on the Senate.
Yeah, and on the Senate. You're absolutely right.
And you got Chuck Schumer. president of the Senate.
Well, and let me tell you about...
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you about what's going on in the Senate right now. Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? You're going to hear, and if you look at this timeline, the CR, right, the continuing resolution that's currently in effect, expires on November 17th. And there's a couple more of these appropriations bills that still have yet to make their way through the House. They're going to be working on that as we approach November 17th. But the specter of a government shutdown has not gone away. It's been delayed, but it hasn't gone away. And the Senate has yet to take up these appropriations bills that have passed the House. And the Senate, you mark my words, they will attempt to blame the House for the delay. But the reality is the Senate has not prioritized these appropriations bills and has not taken them up.
Chuck
in that
Schumer.
Body.
Schumer.
This is the guy. That's right.
Yeah.
This is the Democrat leadership has decided not to prioritize this so that they can create the preconditions for an emergency.
Yeah.
And then
just attempt to blame the Republicans. Yeah, just give us blank check.
That's right. Yeah, and that's their goal. And that's the goal, quite frankly, and you hear people talk about this, and it's the uniparty, right? You've got a lot of people in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party who are saying they don't like this appropriations process. They want to go back to the kitchen sink process. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it makes the people who donate to their campaigns happy. Because that's what the PAC world, right, the Political Action Committee world, wants.
Yeah.
You know, they want maximum government funding. But the reality is that sugar rush that gets created through all of that spending hurts everyday Americans. You can't print
enough money.
You can't do it. If you go in there and you just start printing cash, you get exactly the problem that we've been experiencing for the last 2 years. But these large corporations, these special interest groups, they want that money to continue to flow. And unless we pull it back, I'm telling you right now, we're going to lose the reserve currency status that we have had the privilege of having for the last 50 plus years.
You're in Fairbanks just for today. You're going to be at the venue from 5 to 6, right in there.
Yep.
Beer, you're on the beer side. You're on First Avenue. Sorry.
Awesome, yes.
Then you're going to go to the hockey game.
That's right.
So you're in Fairbanks for beer and hockey.
Beer and hockey.
That is so Alaska.
I love it.
Fairbanks.
Yes, yes.
You're going to, man.
You can't go wrong with beer and hockey.
It's November.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Fairbanks. You know, light comes out at 9:30 in the morning.
Yes. Well, it's amazing. You know, you get out here, and I flew in this morning from Anchorage, and I told my campaign manager, I said, I think.
Oh, you mean Josh sitting right there?
Josh. Yep. Yep. He's here. I told him. I said, look, looks like Fairbanks is about a month ahead of us on winter. Because you can tell when the streets are icy, you know, it hasn't quite hit yet in Anchorage. I think today was our first day of a little bit of ice. Probably melts off by this afternoon.
But. Fairbanks, he asked me about slip falls. He almost had a slip fall, and I said, I've already had two.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and boy, you know, it's like, oh, that's right. It's that time of year. I got to be more careful. Forget those slick shoes. You know, just got to get more traction. And
yes, everyone, please be careful.
And it's November, it's Fairbanks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got a few more months of this.
Where do you go from here?
Well, I'm actually going to go down to D.C. We've got some meetings down in D.C. Now that we've got new leadership in the House, want to make sure that we're touching base with folks. This particular race for the U.S. House seat in Alaska turns out to be one of the top races in the country.
Yeah.
And it's very important for the Republican Party to hold the majority nationally. And in order to do that, Alaska's sole congressional House seat is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so getting an opportunity to meet with the new leadership will be important, talking about the priorities that we have in Alaska and how they can help us advance those priorities will be important. And those are conversations I plan on having here very shortly.
Hmm. Any plans for Christmas besides making sure that your son still thinks Santa Claus, you know, is okay with you beating him? Yeah, boy, that's a tough.
Yeah,
that's a tough speak to a kid.
I had to tell him we've repaired the relationship.
I crushed Santa, but he's okay.
Oh yeah, we've moved beyond it. Yeah, he's now focused on Rudolph and the others. And
no Peter Rabbit in this race.
No. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thankfully not. Yeah, so, you know, I think really it's just about continuing to meet Alaskans where they're at. This has always been the approach. You know, shaking hands, hearing from you, And having the opportunity to understand, you know, the various solutions that are floating around out there. People in a position like this, we don't have all the answers, right? The answers come from you. The answers come from the public, from people who are closest to the issues. And the only way that you're going to get a full grasp of the issues and the potential solutions is to go out and talk to folks. And that's what we do all over the state of Alaska.
So after the last election, how much of a shutdown time period did you need just to regenerate? Because you traveled throughout the state. I mean, boy, you did it. I mean, I was in awe of you. And your personality is you're going to do it again.
I'm going to do it again.
So my question is, Mr. Energizer Bunny, how much time did you, shut down?
Probably, this is going to sound crazy, but this is absolute stone cold truth. I woke up the next morning and I looked at my wife and I said,
I'm doing it again.
Let's go. You know, so it wasn't much of a break. I did think about it. You know, we did deliberate about it, my wife and I, for some time, a few months, because, you know, as much energy as I feel like I've got and as much passion as I know that I have for the state, it's a significant commitment. It's not the sort of thing that you should do lightly. You shouldn't take something like this on lightly, and I certainly don't.
You know, I think the moniker of your uncle is off you finally.
Who?
Mark Bellies. Right. Are you a liberal Democrat?
Oh my gosh.
I think that one's off you.
Yeah, I think so. I think
you've shed that.
People have figured out, you know, where I stand on issues, and I've made it very clear, right? You know, I'm a conservative. I don't apologize for that. And I've always been a conservative, but I'll tell you what, the more I see the left move to the left and what they offer,
yeah,
the more conservative and stayed in my conservatism I become, because, you've heard this said, and I believe it to be true. It's not that the right has moved hard to the right. Is that the left has moved far
left
to the left.
Yeah.
And I hear from so many people who say, you know, I used to be a Democrat, but it turns out the Democrat Party left me.
Yeah, that's what happened to my dad. He was chairman of the Democratic Party, and, you know, they came in with the Green Movement, Jimmy Carter, shutting down industries, shutting down resources. And my dad was a small businessman, and he goes, "That's, you know, he's more Harry Truman aligned."
Yeah,
and he goes, "He became an independent."
A lot of JFK Democrats out there, have, you know, they moved to independent or from that position to the Republican.
Yeah, they
weren't
Teddy Kennedy. They were not Teddy Kennedy Democrats.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. And
oh my goodness,
you know, we're heading into an interesting presidential cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about JFK, you got RFK Jr. running as now an independent candidate. It's going to be an interesting cycle. This may be the wildest presidential election that we've seen in our lifetimes.
Everyone is. The next one will be even wilder.
I hope not. Just, please. You know,
it's always wilder. It's always the next one.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of political fatigue out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's warranted. Things have gotten to be just absolutely nuts. I mean, it's almost, I called it the other day, the gamification of politics, where it's become almost a caricature of itself. You know, you can't hardly find news anymore. It's 90% opinion on all the mainstream channels.
Yeah. The talking points.
Yeah. And so I think one of the themes going into next year is going to be the pursuit of truth. People are seeking the truth. They just want to know what is real. And I think the candidates that can come forward and say things as they are, tell the truth, and not play games with voters are going to be the ones that rise to the top.
Nick, thank you for being on the show with me today. Greatly appreciate it. Josh, thank you for getting him here early. You're a keeper. Fairbanks, I will see you on Monday. Gentlemen, you have a great day.